Today is the seventh Sunday after Pentecost. And these are the announcements. Father Ward is recovering well from his recent surgery. He is planning on returning home tomorrow after spending nearly a week in the rehab hospital. We appreciate your prayers and good wishes for him. We especially want to thank you for all of the mass requests for him. Please continue to pray for him. We remind you to continue to respect Father's privacy. Please do not try to find out which hospital Father is in, or to visit him or call the hospital to talk to him. There are some great feasts this week. We just list them. Today is the feast of St. Vincent de Paul. Tomorrow, 20th, St. Jerome Emiliani. Tuesday, we'll talk about him shortly, St. Lawrence of Brindisi. Wednesday is the feast of St. Mary Magdalene. Thursday, St. Apollinaris. Friday, St. Christina. And on Saturday, feast of St. James the Great, the Greater, and the feast of St. Christopher. The epistle for today's Mass is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Romans. Brethren, I speak in a human way because of the weakness of your flesh. For as you yielded your members as slaves of uncleanness and iniquity unto iniquity, so now yield your members as slaves of justice unto sanctification. For when you were the slaves of sin, you were free as regards justice. But what fruit had you then from those things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of these things is death. But now set free from sin and become slaves to God, you have your fruit unto sanctification, and as your end, life everlasting. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is life everlasting in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for today's Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew, chapter 7, verses 15 to 21. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. By their fruits you will know them. Do men gather grapes from thorns or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven shall enter the kingdom of heaven." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our hope is that, and we have mentioned this to you before, our hope is that at least on Sunday morning, after you have awakened a little bit, but preferably on Saturday night, that you would look over the Mass for the Sunday so that you can make that your prayer. You can think about that. Roll it over in your mind. That's your prayer. The entire Mass, proper Mass texts are available to you. Probably the best one to use would be the Collect for the Mass, which is beautiful. It's always beautiful, sometimes more than others. We thought today's was especially so, and so we read it to you. O God, whose providence in the ordering of all things never fails, we humbly beseech thee to put away from us all harmful things and to give us those things which are profitable for us. I could repeat that prayer over and over, and God would be listening to you every time. He'd be listening very closely. The epistle for today's Mass is also very thought-provoking, something which we have spoken about in the past, but we mention it again because it's so instructive. St. Paul and the Holy Ghost say, when you were in sin, you were very dedicated to that, weren't you? You were very dedicated to your sins. You basically thought of nothing else. So why can't you do that same thing now that you are in grace? Why can't you be that dedicated to your life of prayer? Isn't that perfect? And if you weren't dedicated ever to a life of sin in the way that St. Paul and the Holy Ghost are talking here, all you need to do is compare yourself to someone who is dedicated to that, because that's what they are. They're extremely devoted to their life of sin. That is what they eat, drink, and breathe, their sins, all kinds. And can we not do that for our God? Why can't we be like them? That's what the Holy Ghost is saying. What's wrong? And furthermore, St. Paul says, they aren't getting anything. They don't get any reward for what they're doing. Their pleasures don't last long. Look at the souls in hell. You don't only have to look at the souls in hell, that's the best example, but you can look at souls in prison, for instance. How long did their life of crime last? Usually not very long. Sometimes people get caught on their first crime scene. And especially souls in hell, of course, because what reward did they get? How long did their pleasures last? Sometimes a very short time. And then they were sent to hell. But even if it lasted what we consider to be a long time, years, it's intermittent. It's nothing compared to eternity. How can you compare? And their treasures. He spent a good portion of their life, in some cases, amassing their riches. And then, sometimes even in this life, as you know, they suddenly disappear. How many times have people who invested in the stock market seen that? But not only them. Everything we have sometimes can go up in flames. Everything. Those are just a couple of examples, aren't they? And what other great rewards do sinners receive? Oftentimes, in the midst of their sins, death. But even sometimes they lose an arm or a leg, become completely disabled in the midst of their sins, or just plain sick, very sick, because of their stupidity and their dedication to their sins. And what about the end of their lives? How many people live in their lives very sadly because of their sins? Sometimes all alone. And that is because that is a punishment. On the other hand, those who practice virtue and are devoted to our Lord and Savior, to His Blessed Mother, even those who are dedicated, who are good people, because as we have mentioned to you, even good people who are not Catholic receive a reward for their goodness. If not, it's a little frightening, but if not in the next life, at least in this life, they're rewarded for their goodness. We believe they will be rewarded in the next life too by a conversion at the end, but we can't depend on that. So those who are practice virtue are not only rewarded with infinite, we can say, exquisite divine pleasures, the pleasures of God in heaven, but even now, if you are living a life of prayer, then you know that the treasures that we have even here on earth are worth sacrificing all things just for the pleasure of prayer. This is what we receive. This Sunday highlights this, because, believe it or not, because this is the seventh Sunday after Pentecost, it is dedicated to the seventh gift of the Holy Ghost. We don't know where this came from, except the Holy Ghost himself. We don't know when it began, so many centuries ago, but this is what God chose to do. The seventh Sunday is dedicated to the seventh gift, the gift of wisdom. Seventh Beatitude, blessed are the peacemakers. This gift of wisdom is given to us to perfect the highest of all the virtues. Virtues are more important, as I am sure you know, since it's obvious that the highest of all gifts from God is love. So this is the highest of all the virtues, charity, because it unites us so intimately and directly to the Blessed Trinity, even right now, even before we reach heaven. But the gifts of the Holy Ghost are given to us to perfect our virtues. When we practice these virtues with great zeal, then the Holy Ghost comes to us in many different ways, specifically seven, to help us to make our virtue perfect. And so the gift of wisdom helps us to practice charity. It makes our charity perfect. It works directly and first of all on our love of God. This comes first. And so the gift of wisdom, which is directly tied both to our intellect and to our will. Both faculties are given wisdom. Our will, because it moves us to love. And obviously, it is tied to our intellect and works with our intellect, because wisdom is great understanding, great penetration. That's wisdom. So it works first with love of God, and it helps us to love God perfectly, intimately. And then, because of our love of God and our entering in to the Blessed Trinity itself with the gift of wisdom, it makes us see all things just as if we see them through the eyes of God. And it makes us love everyone through the heart of God, the heart of the Trinity. This is what wisdom does for us. And so those who have great wisdom see everything as God sees them. It penetrates. And if you have this to a high degree, this gift, you can taste the wisdom, which is to say, you taste God on your tongue. It is inexpressible sweetness. We have never experienced this, of course, but this is what the saints tell us. It is, you taste it on your tongue. And keep in mind, brethren, that this is not a gift only for the great saints. This is for all of us. Us common folk. Ordinary people. We told you, we gave you examples in the past of people who are, although they may have been great saints, they were just regular people like you and me. And we gave you that perfect example. Maria von Merle, who lived not many years ago. This was in Europe. And she was a housekeeper. You remember her. We told you about her. She was just a housekeeper. And she was given the gift of mystic prayer in the midst of all her duties, so that she never lost the presence of God. Intimate prayer. This lasted for 35 years. 35 years. And they said that she did everything perfectly. She took care of the children and kept the house in perfect order. She never lost the presence of God. This is an example of the wisdom that you and I are expected to have, because this is not something only for people who can work miracles. This is for all of us. This is not a special gift. It's special only because so few obtain it. But it is not meant to be special in that sense, that only a few are expected. We are all required, in a manner of speaking. God desires this of each one of us, even children. We have given you examples of small children, almost babies, who have been given this gift of wisdom. And people have gone to these children and consulted them to know what to do in their lives, to know what to do on a particular occasion, because the people around them knew that this child has God. And so, in imitation of the Holy Ghost and St. Paul, we say to you, can't you and I do what these children have done through their prayers? Can we not receive this gift of knowing God intimately? Especially when the saints tell us this is what is expected of us. This gift of wisdom directs love. And so, even though it is true that we are judged by love, the moment we die, at the moment our soul leaves our body, we are judged by how great our love is. If we have no love, we know where we go. But what is the degree of our love? If it is great, then we fly immediately up to the arms of God. But if love gives us the wings to fly to God, what is it that directs us to Him? It is wisdom. Wisdom directs our charity. No one loves greatly without this special gift from God. And even though we may not feel sanctifying grace that we are given in baptism, we don't feel it present in us usually. But with this gift, we always feel it. We know God is right here. We can see Him, so to speak. We feel with this special presence of God in us, we feel the Blessed Trinity in us before the beatific vision. This is astounding. This is what the saints experienced. We have had people ask us questions like this. How do I love God? How can I have great love of God? Or great faith? And one of the easiest answers, of course, and we have heard this, is to learn to love. Practice love. How can you become a good mother? By trying. Do your very best, and you will be a good mother. Good computer knowledge. You practice. You jump into it and give it everything you have. And this is true of the virtues. So to love, you practice love. You love all that you can. But with this gift of wisdom, there is an end around. And we are given it by Christ himself on this Sunday because of this dedication to the seventh Sunday, to the seventh gift. We are given some extra knowledge about how to sneak in. And it comes from Christ's words when he says, we can't repeat it. What does he say? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven shall enter the kingdom of heaven. So you practice always doing the will of God, and you will be given not only wisdom, because this is, the saints say, the greatest wisdom of all is to do the will of God. And you will be given wisdom and love. Always try your best to fulfill the will of God, and then you will be wise as God is. You see life, people, inanimate things as God sees them. There was, many years ago, a Dominican nun. Her name was Blessed Stephanie Sonchino. We're guessing that is Italian. Blessed Stephanie. And she had this gift. And she, in addition to her gift, she was given something else that we won't necessarily be given, even if we have great wisdom and perfect love of God. She was given a vision. She was taken in her mind, at least in her soul. She was taken to heaven. And even though she may not have seen God himself in the beatific vision, undoubtedly she did not see that, but she says that she saw some of the people she knew here on earth, and they were among the seraphim. And she said that she was given the knowledge when she had this vision. She was given the knowledge that all of these people who were among the seraphim were most dedicated to practicing the will of God. And so, we tell you now about one more example that we saved until now, St. Lawrence of Brindisi. This amazing saint who lived in the 1500s into the 1600s was a doctor of the church. So he was on the level of St. Thomas Aquinas, St. Augustine, St. Robert Bellarmine, great, great saint, and given the wisdom of God in a very high degree. And he wrote volumes. He was a professor. When when he would offer his Mass, very often he would get lost in prayer, and his Mass would last a long time because he was conversing with God. And we will show you now an example of how practical, how when you have this gift, you see everything as God sees. The year was 1601, and he was given this job by the emperor, Rudolf II. Emperor Rudolf II spoke to St. Lawrence of Brindisi and said, "We need an army because the Turks are coming into Hungary. They are invading, and we need an army. Raise an army for us." This is what this saint did. He raised an army. How does one go about raising an army? We don't know. But he did it. And he was put in charge by the general. He was chief of staff of this army. And so this general and all the generals under him consulted with him when it came time to prepare for the battle. And they said, "What do we do?" And he said, "Go. Assault. Assault the enemy. Now." And he led the troops up. This is, by the way, the Battle of Guruslau. We tried to look up more details about this battle to see what the exact situation was, and even though we can see it on a map, we couldn't find anything in our minuscule research to give details about what the numbers of the enemy were and the numbers of Christians. But as they lined up for battle with the enemy, the Christian soldiers became so daunted by the numbers and the position of the enemy . This is when they are on the battlefield. They became so afraid, they despaired, apparently ready to turn and run. And St. Lawrence went out in front of the soldiers, and he spoke to them and encouraged them. And then he got on his horse and he led the troops into battle against the far superior forces, vastly outnumbered us. He led the troops into battle with his crucifix. And the enemy was completely crushed by the Christian soldiers. And we told this story to you because of the gift of wisdom. Clearly, this saint saw everything through the eyes of God. But brethren, this is within our reach, just through practicing abandonment to the will of God. May God bless you.